Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Revelation 3:20, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and he will sup with me, with him, and he with me." Tonight we're going to be talking about part four, prophetic truths about the Hebrew alphabet. We're going to be talking about the letter Dalet. Dalet. Everybody say Dalet. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this privilege to be in your house. Let this word go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Lord, we ask you that you'll continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we'll bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. Is that Lindsay back there? Hey, let's give Lindsay a good hand clap. So glad to see her. I've been missing her. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to recap Gimel, which was our third letter we just talked about last week. I want to talk about Gimel just a few moments. And we already have established this truth. Why is it important to learn the Hebrew alphabet? And it's simply because it holds eternal value. It holds revelation, which is what I hope you're receiving every time we meet. And it is also the language of God. We are using Zephaniah 3 and verse 9 as our foundational scripture. It says, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they all may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." Again, if you can remember what pure language is about, it's basically the form, establishing the form of pure worship, a form of true worship. So last Wednesday night, we talked about Gimel. And I love this letter, Gimel. I learned so much just from this letter, and it represented basically these prophetic truths. Number one, Gimel was a rich man running after a poor man. How many is grateful that Jesus came after us? My wife made a statement, Sister Charlotte, the other day, and she was saying how Jesus left the 99 and went and got that one. And I'm grateful for God's blessings and his desire for us. It also represented Jesus, our Redeemer, and third, it represented the picture of the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, I had the pictograph up here, and it was a camel. A camel represents an animal that can go beyond any destination. It's an amazing animal. We know that camels have the ability to travel further than probably most animals on the planet, especially in extreme conditions, meaning in dry, desert-like conditions. And so, Gimel, we learned last week, means to lift up or to reward. And so it's God who lifts us up. But we got to remember this. God lifts us up in either a reward or he lifts us up in a rebuke. And he wants us to obey him. He wants us to comply to his word. It's important to do that. Just like a parent would correct its child if they see their child doing wrong, God will correct us at times. How many has been corrected by God? I know I'm not the only one in here. Correction is good for us. Psalms division 119 and verse 17 says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." And this word bountifully in the word is gamal, and the Hebrew is gamal. And it refers to the process of weaning a child. And isn't that what God has been doing with us in our spiritual journey with him, on a peregrination with God, that he is weaning us, he's maturing us. We're trying to be the person that he is destined for us to be. And we see this as Jesus talks about this in Matthew 18 and verse 3. He says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." I love that thought, being converted and being like a child, having that childlike faith. And then verse 4 says, "Whosoever there shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." So I want to be very cautious of not offending our children. Amen? We got to be very cautious and very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that we do not correct them and help them and guard them. And so those are important aspects. So let's look at Daleb. In our scripture, Revelation 3:20, which is what we've written down right here. Revelation 3:20 is our key text. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup with him, and he with me." Now, if you were here Sunday morning, you learned a little bit about Revelation 3:20. And we were talking about, why is Jesus standing outside? Why is this the only picture that we see Jesus standing outside of a door and knocking and ask, and basically saying, if you know my voice, if you hear my voice, then you need to respond. And out of all seven churches that John was writing these letters to, actually Jesus was writing these letters to, and John was receiving these letters, this last church, the church of Laodicea, was the only one that you see Jesus standing in front of the door. And so I always found that inspiring and interesting. Now, I have a teaching back there in the back called The Binary Believer. I think it's still back there. I taught this about, 7 or 8 years ago, and it talks a little bit about, goes into a little bit deeper detail of the knock that Jesus was making, that people could hear his voice. Because if you notice, it says if he's knocking, but he's not saying anything. That's interesting there to me. So I did a big study on that, and if that's back there, you can find the revelation on that. But the reason Jesus is seen knocking on the door is this prophetic picture of Jesus. He's inducing the church of Laodicea, the church, to repent. If you study the book of Revelation, and you know that the seven churches of Asia Minor, those churches that are spoken to, the letters are written to, we know that those are dispensations, those are ages, and the church age that we're in right now is this compromising church, the church of Laodicea, and that's where we're at right now. And so Jesus is saying, he's inducing us, he's inviting us to repent. And so I think this is interesting. This is what 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 says. It says, "If my people," it should be on your screen, "if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." That was the, by far, Michelle, by far, that was the number one scripture during the COVID pandemic, was it not? It was pasted upon all social media. "If my people, which are called by my name," you've seen it all the time. But now the pandemic pretty much is gone. There's still little areas that people deal with COVID here and there, but it's nothing like it was. But I still see something that hasn't changed, and that is attendance in churches. People still are setting out of church. They've not learned the lesson. So what do you think is going to happen? Something greater, maybe a greater judgment is going to take place. I don't know, but I will tell you this. I don't want to miss church. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. I want to be where God is, and I want to be with my family, my friends, in the collective atmosphere of God. I will tell you this. God is about to do something great at Gospel Lighthouse Church. He's about to do something remarkable that man cannot do, only that God can do. So let's look at these truths. I love this letter, Daleb. I love it because it's just a really easy letter for me to draw. There's a lot of little attachments. We're not going to get into that depth. But Daleb being the number 4, the fourth letter, and it's interesting to me of Daleb. Now, let's talk a little bit about the prophetic truths of this letter. The first prophetic truth about Daleb is the the symbolization of a needy person who has bent over. Now, I couldn't do it real well, but this would be the pictograph. And we'll talk about this one here in a moment. But this one is what Moses would have saw. If Moses was around and he saw the letters, the Hebrew letters, of course, you know, God wrote the Ten Commandments, the Torah, in stone. And he would see the letter Dalet. He would see that it's this letter that is kind of bending over. It's kind of bowing. It kind of resembles a person that is bent over, who's in need, who's not sitting straight up, you know, and saying, oh, look at me, but who's actually in need. Do you know today that there's a generation of people who are so prideful that they don't need God? There he is. I have a problem with pastors who are calling their youth next gen. That's why you've not heard me saying anything about next gen. Because what they're basically saying is the next generation. That's who we're highlighting. I'm not a next gen person. I'm a this gen person. I believe today's the day of salvation. I believe today these children, this generation of these children that we see right now, this is the church. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. But the people are so prideful, they don't need God. There's a generation of people who are so blind that they can't think about this. They can't hear from God. Wow. That's kind of confusing. What do you mean by that? Let me show you in Scripture. Revelation 3 and 17. This is this Laodicean church. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in a fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalf, that they may see. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so many people get caught up in this visual response when God is, he said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if any man hear my voice, right? He didn't say anything about seeing. And so we got to get past this visual age. And I will say this right now, a warning to every parent, to every person that has a cell phone. I'm going to say this right now. This is a warning to every parent, to every teenager. There is delusion on this thing right here. You are being lied to. Every day you pick this phone up and you look, you're being lied to. There's delusion. It is a, Sister Charlotte, is what God said, how he would allow strong delusion to take place in these last days. They got this thing called artificial intelligence. Anybody ever heard of it? They're able now to fake videos. They look so real, but they're fake. So we need to be very cautious about that. Dalet is a realization that, you know what? I need Jesus. And I find myself kneeling down, bent over, in need of Jesus Christ, my Savior. I need him. I don't ever want to go through life thinking that I do not need Jesus Christ in my life. I need God every day of my life. How about you? Amen. Number two, the second prophetic truth about Dalet is this. It is the symbolization of a door. So this Hebraic pictograph that you would have seen if you lived way back in the Abraham time, you would have saw this. It looks like a horseshoe with a bar, doesn't it? Kind of odd looking. But this is what it actually symbolized. This was a skin. The U looking thing was actually a skin off an animal hanging over a rod or a beam. And that's basically how doors were made. Doors weren't like, well, I got a doorknob and I push it open. But back in the day, thousands of years ago, the only door they had was an animal hide that hung down. Ooh, boy, I'm getting Holy Ghost chills. We're about to go somewhere with this. This Dalet door is a representation of the choice to open the door ourselves to the hope of our dreams, or to allow it to remain closed off and alienated. I saw a funny meme today on Facebook. It was somebody that was, I'm sure they were in their 50s, because I feel the same way. They said, now that I'm getting older, I don't want to go driving anymore. I don't want to go drive at night. I like staying at home. They basically said, I don't want to ever leave the house, right? I said, Amen, I know how you feel at times with that. But there's this door. We have an opportunity right now. Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking and he's wanting our response. It's an invitation, as we said Sunday morning. So Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15 says, one of my favorite, all-time favorite minor prophets, it says, and I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. How many need a door of hope? I need a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in a day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. In other words, when she came up out of bondage, it was a door of hope. And she sang, I don't want to ever lose hope. And this is that representation. The name Achor literally means trouble, affliction, or taboo. And you may be here tonight facing trouble. You may be here tonight having some type of affliction or taboo in your life, and it's inflicted you in such a way that it's caused your inner man, the esso, the inner man, to become bent over, right? Have you ever been hit so hard in the gut? Not literally, hopefully not literally. But I rebuke right now in the name of Jesus, I rebuke spousal abuse in Jesus' name. Whether it's verbal or physical, I command it to stop in Jesus' name. But have you ever felt you got bad news and it just hits you right in the gut? And you just bent over and you just... That is this affliction. That is what Dalet is showing us. It's affliction. And you may be here tonight. I don't want to... That's what God is saying. God is saying tonight that the Dalet door is opening for you and you're going from being bent over to standing up straight. In victory. Amen. I have victory in Jesus. Let me show you out of the book of Psalms, division 34 and verse 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of some of them. Out of partial, out of all of them. Every one, God delivers us out of them. So how do I apply this to my life? How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? Let's look at Revelation 3 and 20 one more time. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup with him, and he with me. So, again, the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to view this Hebrew letter, Dalet, view it in its ancient form to proclaim its biblical truth. Again, if you remember what a pictograph is a symbol or sign for a letter or word. And it's important to note that these pictures do not replace, define, or limit Scripture, but they simply illustrate Scripture, right? So this pictograph of the Hebrew letter Dalet is a picture of the animal hide hanging from a doorframe. You already know, don't you? She's already got it. Flesh and blood has not revealed this, but the Spirit of the Lord has, right? Animal hide right there, hanging from a door frame. I love God. His word is so incredible. I believe, in my opinion, this letter, Hebrew Dalet, it points to Jesus right here as our Passover lamb. You probably can't read that on the door that I drew, but it says Passover lamb. How many is thankful that he's the Lamb of God? John the Baptist said, behold, pointed at Jesus, his cousin, and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the people, the sins of this earth. That's what it shows. Now, this is what Exodus said. Exodus 12, now this was when the Hebrews were in bondage, and they're coming up on what's called Pesach or Passover. They're in Egyptian bondage, and God is about to free them. All right? There have been plagues after plague. Now, this is the gets to the 10th plague, and it's the death angel. I think we all remember the story. But in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, and they shall take of the blood of what? Of the animal, of this animal, and strike it on the two side posts and upon the door of the house. They could have put blood anywhere, Pastor Crystal. God could have told them, I want to put blood on the ground, or I want to put blood on your table. But no, God chose to put blood on the doorpost and above the door. Look what it shows. There, there, and there. It is the symbol of the cross of Calvary. The symbol of the cross. The door of the cross. And then what does he say? Look what he says next. Exodus 12 and verse 13. It says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I, someone says, when I see the blood, I will pass over, which Passover means Pesach. I will pass over you, and a plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. And when I smite the land of Egypt. So he have this death angel and it's floating around that night, and it sees the blood, and he says, when I see the blood, Passover doesn't necessarily mean pass over, but it means to straddle over. I will protect you. That's Dalet. That is so amazing. As the Hebrews were painting the two side posts and the upper door posts of their houses, it's that prophetic symbol of Jesus Christ. Think about this. You ready for this? The Father, as we're learning in Hebrew, the Father's Aleph, the Father Aleph sent his Son, Bet, by the means of the Holy Spirit, which is Gimel, who makes appeal to the poor and needy to receive grace and mercy. Only God can orchestrate something like that. Only God can line this up. Know this, though. And this is what I believe, how we really need to get this tonight. To just really drive this home. Before we've been talking about Hosea. We've been talking about going out the door of hope. Before we go out of the door, we need to go into the door. Anybody understand that? Does that make sense? Let me help you here. Look at Matthew 6 and 6. It says, but then when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, right? Pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. How many can say tonight, God, I'm looking for your blessings on my life. I'm closing that closet door and I'm praying in secret to you, Father, because I know that you have something very special in store for me. Stand together. I hear the Lord say something to somebody, and I'm not going to say who it is, but I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes real quick. Because I hear the Lord saying one word. I hear the Lord say bonus. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus. It's for you tonight. I want you to receive that. You may be here tonight. You're struggling. Wondering how I'm going to be able to make it to the next paycheck. Make it whatever it may be that's going on in your life. But know this. God rewards faithfulness, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 tells us that. And so thank God tonight. Thank God. What if we all determine tonight? Jesus is outside the door. He's knocking. What if we all determine tonight? I'm going to invite Jesus. I'm going to invite him into my life. How would that affect you, your family, your job, the church, and the community? I believe it would make a difference. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight in this place. You are so great, God. You are so wonderful. We receive that invitation. We hear your voice. We open ourselves to you. Lord, we thank you. Come and dine. Sup with us. Be with us. Have a meal with us as we have a meal with you. Let us enjoy fellowship with you, Father. Thank you, God, and we give you glory and we give you honor. While your head is bowed and your eyes closed, I want to call out some names and I want you to agree with me tonight. Father, we pray for Donna Chu. We pray for healing from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that there has not been any damage what she has suffered the other day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together and we agree right now that you'll touch, Father, that you'll minister to Roy, that you will bless him and strengthen him and touch his body. We come tonight in agreement and we pray for Danny. We pray for strength from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. We pray for Jeff Peters tonight that you will touch his body and strengthen him. We pray for Vernon Troop that God, you will encourage his heart and strengthen his body. We give you glory and we give you praise and we thank you for it. And we give you all the honor. Hallelujah. And God awesome. Praise the Lord. If you will, let's say our Aaronic Konim blessing. First in Hebrew, then in English. Yeh varecha kal Adonai v'yesmerei kal ya'ah Adonai panav lecha v'yaweinu kal yasah Adonai panav lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. I want you to leave this place. I want you expecting good news.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.